And I'm thankful that we have an appreciation as saints of God, that we have an appreciation for the word of the Lord. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of you want God to increase your faith?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I want to have more faith in God. I don't believe we should ever get to a place that we are satisfied with the degree of our faith. But we ought to pray, Lord, increase our faith.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen. Only two people in the entire New Testament were ever commended for their faith. And both of them were Gentiles. But to the disciples, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. I pray to God that He would increase my faith, that He would increase your faith. Amen. That will not make God any bigger than He already is. That will in no way change the expression of God, the power of God, the capacity of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. But it will enable us to tap in, amen, to the stream of God's purpose and God's plan, amen, for this present hour. And so I pray tonight that we will pray sincerely, O Lord, increase my faith. Hallelujah. We are strengthened through our faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. We can't please the Lord. We need faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we pray tonight that God would minister to you as He ministers to all of us by the power and authority of His Word. Praise God. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me tonight to the book of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and verse 6. And we will also read a portion from the book of Luke. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and verse 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And then in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter and the 14th verse, the Scripture says, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Would you pray? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, for your anointing, your blessing upon each and every one. God, to speak, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, to use each vessel of clay Lord, that we might be an instrument in your hands, that we might proclaim this truth of salvation and hope to a lost and dying world. We pray, Lord God, give us the ministry that you have committed unto us, that we might minister in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Malachi was the last of a long list of Old Testament prophets that prophesied in the name of the Lord, that spoke as a clear and clarion voice of the power and the authority of God. And after the passing of Malachi, there came 400 years of silence, when the voice of the prophet was not heard in Israel, that there were no writing prophets to record the sacred word of God. For 400 years they waited in anticipation for the coming of one who would prepare the way of the Lord. Malachi's prophecy tells us that there would be a great prophet that would arise who would prepare the way before the Lord. The Bible says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now we know that that great and dreadful day of the Lord was prophesied throughout the Old Testament, that it was prophesied also in the New Testament, and we are still awaiting the complete fulfillment of that great and dreadful day, when the Lord will come in divine judgment to judge the souls of men. That we know that that day has not yet come, that we still wait in anticipation of the coming of the Lord in power and in great glory. Nevertheless, Jesus is the Messiah. Messiah has already come as a suffering servant. But he said, "I will come again." He came not in the greatness and in the might of judgment. In fact, Jesus said, "I am not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." And so, what they did not recognize, today we understand. What they could not have anticipated, we now see clearly. That the coming of the Lord was to be in two phases. It was first to be a spiritual kingdom, and afterward he would come in a literal sense to establish a literal kingdom in the earth. For the power of his government and his authority shall be a kingdom that shall be without end. But a prophecy was given of a prophet who would come and that would prepare the way before the Lord. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest the Lord should come and smite the earth with a curse. That prophecy has been fulfilled, both literally and figuratively. It was fulfilled literally when the Bible tells us that Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus Christ upon the Mount of Transfiguration. For Jesus said, he said, "There be some standing here works that shall not taste death, till they see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. And just 8 days later, that Jesus took Peter, James, and John into a high mountain, and he was transfigured before their sight. And his raiment became as the sun that shines in his strength. And there appeared with Jesus Christ both Moses and Elijah. But it also was fulfilled in a figurative sense. For although John the Baptist himself said that he was not Elijah that was to come, that the Bible says that he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And Jesus said, "This was Elijah, if you can receive it," that was to come. For John the Baptist was a man who had the power and the anointing of Elijah upon him. He came with the spirit of Elijah to proclaim a message of repentance and hope and salvation to those that would believe. We look at Elijah the prophet. Elijah's ministry was a ministry of hope. Although his ministry was a ministry of hope to those that would hear the word of God, it was a ministry of restoration. It was a ministry of the coming kingdom of God. His ministry was spoken against the backdrop of misery and despair, that Israel was fallen into apostasy and rebellion against God, and great calamity had fallen upon the nation because of Israel's sin. So when Elijah came and he spake by the anointing of God, he spoke with a clearness. He spoke with a clarity and a boldness that caused all men to stop in their tracks. For this man had a special anointing upon him. Of all of the prophets of God, there are two that stand out from all of the rest. And those two great men of God are Moses and Elijah. That these were men that were very unique in their life, very unique in their anointing and their ministry. And we can learn much as we study these great men of God. But regardless of how disturbing that life may have been at the moment for Israel, and Israel had fallen into a depth of sin, that God had pronounced judgment upon Ahab and his entire house. God had determined already that Israel would go into captivity, and that the people would be sorely punished because of their sin. But regardless of how dire the circumstance, regardless of how dark the day was, amen, we are to be reminded that it is God that controls our future. It is God that will make everything right. And Elijah was there to let them know that there was still hope, that there was still a great light that was shining, if only they would believe in the message that he proclaimed unto them. Praise God, that whatever life may deal you, no matter what circumstances you may find yourself in, you may be miserable today. Your life may be a life of despair. You may think that there is no answer. You may think that your life is hopeless and there are no answers, that there's no way out for you. I want you to know there is an answer. There is a bright ray of hope, that there is a God that stands ready to forgive you and to give you life if only you will listen to his messenger. There are lessons that we can learn as we study the life of John the Baptist. For John came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I thank God for men who have an Elijah ministry. I believe that we need men today that have the ministry of Elijah. God, give us men like Elijah. God, give us men like John the Baptist that will be courageous in spite of the opposition, that will look sin squarely in the eye and call it what it is, that will not fall back in fear or compromise, but they will proclaim the Word of God, amen, with the voice of a trumpet, with a voice that is clear and that is anointed of the Lord. We can learn lessons from John the Baptist. One of the lessons that we can learn as we study the life of this man is that God answers prayer in His own way and in His own time. 400 years, silent as they were, had passed, and yet there was no star in the sky to proclaim the Messiah. There was no messenger sent forth to prepare a highway for our God. But I want you to know, even though there was no evidence that there was hope coming along the path, that there was no evidence that things were about to change, that God is faithful to His Word. God will never leave us, and God will never forsake us. That God is faithful, that promised, He said, before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes, I'm going to send hope. I'm going to send a messenger to prepare my way before me. Can you say praise the Lord? And that day did come. God did bring hope. But God brought it in His own time. God brought it about in His own way. Because God is sovereign. That one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. And so we must recognize that God is faithful. That God will not leave us in the lurch. That God will not abandon you in the midst of the battle. That God will not leave you defenseless before the enemy. That God will not leave you empty and without strength. But our God is an on-time God. And God knew exactly what He was doing. Just 6 months before the Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceived that promised seed that we call Messiah, God was already at work. You see, God is always one step ahead of where we are. No matter what we think, no matter how much we fret, no matter how much we may doubt God, God is always one step ahead. God chose to answer prayer. And He answered that prayer through an old man and an old woman by the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, if I was looking for an answer to my prayer, it probably would not have stopped with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Because God said that He was going to send a great prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That He was going to raise up one who was going to be a messenger before His face. And just 6 months before Jesus Christ was conceived by Mary, that God had already set in motion, amen, the fulfillment of a prophecy. The the sending forth of a messenger that was going to proclaim truth and righteousness to a nation that was backslidden and in fear of the judgment of God. God is an on-time God. Elizabeth was quite advanced in years, as was also her husband. The Bible says that they had had no children. And I'm sure, though the Bible doesn't say, that they must have prayed for children many times, that God would lift the reproach that they had, they carried with them, because they desired to have children. And it happened to be at God's time. You see, God has a time. God has a purpose. There's a time to every purpose under the sun. And the Bible says it happened to be Zechariah's turn to go into the temple and to offer prayers unto God. Because Zechariah was of the priestly line of Levi. And according to the Bible, there were 24 courses of the priesthood. And that they each ministered before God according to their particular course. Whenever it fell their lot, and since there were 24 different courses of priests, and there were quite a number of priests in each one of those 24 divisions, that for the lot to just happen to fall on Zechariah was not just happenstance. It wasn't just the luck of the Irish. It just didn't happen to fall upon that day. It wasn't just his time to pick the right number. But it was orchestrated by the power and the plan of Almighty God. The Bible said it was Zechariah's lot. It was his time to burn incense in the house of the Lord. I don't know how long between times that it was, but he didn't get to preach every Wednesday or every Thursday, or he didn't preach in the minister in the house of God very often, just when it fell his lot. Just whenever it came up his time, according to the course that he was born. And so Zechariah was overjoyed that it was his time. I don't know how many years I read once, how many years in between. But it was actually years between the time that they went in and actually offered up incense in the temple, because there were so many thousands of priests that served in the temple of God. That he was not a high priest. He was not even one of the sons of the high priest. But he was a Levite. And so he had to very patiently await his time to go in to the house of the Lord. But guess what? It was his time. And I believe there is a time for everyone that is a member of the body of Christ. We are a priesthood of believers. Everyone, not just the pastor and the assistant. Amen. Not just the evangelist. Not just the prophet and the missionary. But every one of us are called into ministry. We are a part of the priesthood of believers, that we might minister before the Lord. That we might offer praise and sacrifice unto God. That we might be a witness to His name. That every one of us, amen, have a sure and certain destiny. That God will, amen, He will bring about a time. He will bring about a place. He will bring about a purpose in your life in order that He might receive the glory. You believe that? Amen. It was Zechariah's time. And he went into the house of the Lord. And while he was offering incense unto God, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. I don't think that Zechariah had conversations with angels on a regular basis. I don't believe that it was something that was common to his ministering to the Lord. There's nothing common about having an encounter with the Lord. There's nothing uncommon, or rather nothing common, about finding your place in the kingdom of God. There's nothing common about that. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. God has chosen each of us. Amen. That we might fulfill our destinies. That we might operate in the Spirit. That we might have a conversation in the Holy Ghost with the divine architect, the divine King that we know as Jesus Christ. And so it was Zechariah's lot. And the angel of the Lord told Zechariah, he said that God has chosen you and your wife, Elizabeth, and she's going to bear a son. And this is going to be a special birth, because this child is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Before he's even born into the world, he's going to have an anointing upon him. The Bible says that he received the Holy Ghost while he was still in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And when Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, being found with child of the Holy Ghost, Mary had already been visited by the angel of the Lord, that as soon as she came into the house, the Bible says that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want you to know, when it's of God, when God, amen, orchestrates things, that mighty things will happen. Because our God is a God of precision. That He is a God of faithfulness. He is an old time God. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use me. And God wants to use the church in order to bring about a great and mighty revival in these last days. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God answers prayer. But God doesn't answer prayer as we often expect God to answer. But many times God works in impossible situations. If you think, well, God couldn't use, can't use me. I'm just so unworthy to be a vessel that God could use. That I failed God so many times. Look at my record. That I have been a failure. I have squandered opportunities that God has placed before me. But I want you to know that God can work in impossible situations. I didn't say difficult. It wasn't that it would have been difficult for Elizabeth and Zechariah to conceive a child. It would have been impossible for Elizabeth and Zechariah to conceive a child, because they were old. They were well past the time of bearing children. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying tonight? It wasn't difficult. It was impossible. But I'm glad that I know the God that is the master of impossibility. That God delights in doing that men think it's impossible. You may think tonight that it's impossible that God would choose you. You may think God would never look at me, that God would never call my name, that God would never anoint my life. But God delights in doing things that men call impossible. He's a God of possibility. The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. impossible situations when we allow Him to operate in our life. But we have to be willing vessels. God will never impose His will upon us. God will never do anything that you are not willing to accept. God will never force upon you or to press you into service that you are not willing to take. But if you're willing to be a vessel that is yielded unto God, a vessel that's malleable and pliable in the hands of God, God can work miracles in your life because He works in impossible situations. We also learn from studying the life of John the Baptist that in Elijah ministry is bold as a lion. God is looking for men and women that will be bold, that will not draw back in fear. And Elijah's ministry is bold in renouncing sin for what it is. If we want to be a vessel unto honor, then we need to hate sin. That we need to turn away from the ways of the world and the ways of wickedness. God said that He would not put any wicked thing before His eyes. That God hates sin. God hates the abomination of the wicked. That it's not even proper for us to even talk about the things that they men do in secret in violation of the things of God. We need to have a sincere and honest love for all things that are holy and righteous and acceptable in the sight of God. We need to renounce sin. God hates sin while He loves the sinner. But an Elijah ministry is a ministry that calls sin, sin. It calls black, black, and white, white. It stands up to those who would flaunt sin and rebellion in the face of God and says, thus saith the word of the Lord. If it's sin in the Old Testament, it's still sin in the New Testament. If God hated it then, He hates it even now, because my Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Hallelujah. And Elijah ministry prepares the ground for the sowing of the seed of the gospel. And Elijah ministry is a ministry of plowing, preparing the fallow ground of the heart to receive the precious seed of the Word of God. That was the ministry of John the Baptist. John said, "Ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the judgment that is to come upon the world?" Instead of running people away, John wasn't speaking by his own authority. He wasn't speaking as a man, but he was speaking by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. It was God that was speaking through him. And because that he would not compromise, and he would not recoil in fear, but he preached what God declared him to preach, that they came and they were baptized in the Jordan, confessing their sins and believing the message of hope, the message of restoration that John the Baptist was preaching. Why? Because he had an Elijah ministry. He plowed and prepared the way for the sowing of the seed of the gospel. It's important that we prepare the ground before we sow the seed. If you sow the seed before there's been any plowing, what happens to the seed? It's scattered. It comes to nothing. The birds come and they eat the seed that is upon the ground. Or if it does come up, that it has no root, and as soon as the sun has come up, it dies and it shrivels up because it has no earth. It has no substance. Or it's choked with the cares of this world. Weeds and brambles overtake it. And it's overcome with the cares of this life. I believe that we're living in an age where we need more plowing. And we need to do it before we sow the seed of the Word of God. Too long I feel that seed is fallen on ground that is not prepared to receive it. God help us prepare the ground of our heart. That Elijah was a man that knew to proclaim the Word of God with as the Holy Spirit anointed him to do. That John the Baptist proclaimed the message that he might prepare the ground that he might receive the precious seed of the Word of God. We learn from the life of John the Baptist that our success is not dependent upon our abilities. It's not dependent upon the power of our charisma. But it's dependent upon the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That men did not go out into the desert to see John the Baptist because of his beautiful robes that he wore, or the eloquence of speech by which he spake. He did not tickle their ears and tell them things that made them feel good. Too many churches, they proclaim a feel-good religion. Think and grow rich. Blab it and grab it. But that's not the ministry of those who would have an Elijah ministry. Elijah proclaimed to them the Word of God. It was like fire coming out of his mouth. He proclaimed the Word of God like a lion when it roars. Amen. And they came trembling to the Jordan River. Conviction coming over them, sweeping over them themselves as they knelt there in repentance and they were plunged beneath the waters of Jordan for the remission of their sin. Why? Because he was not dependent upon the ways of man, but he was dependent upon the fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. What we need is more of the Holy Ghost anointing upon our life. We need a fire from heaven to fall and set us on fire that we might proclaim the power of Jesus Christ. And Elijah ministry is a ministry of persuasion that compels men to repent. So forceful and powerful was his preaching that every class, Romans, Jews, men of authority, servants, slaves, of all walks of life, they came to hear the Baptist as he proclaimed the message of repentance. And we learn from the ministry of John the Baptist and from Elijah the prophet that we are never closer to defeat than in our moment of greatest victory. That when we think that we have come to the end of our rope, when we think that things could not get any worse, when it looks like there is no hope in sight, when it looks like that the battle is about to be lost, we are standing at the very moment of our greatest victory. Daniel triumphed over the lions just when it appeared that he was about to be consumed. David failed the giant just at the moment that he was about to be destroyed by the sword of the giant. Elijah had an answer to his prayer just when it looked like he was about to be swallowed up by the multitude of idolatrous unbelievers, that his God answered by fire. Yes, when we are what appears to be at the very brink of defeat, we are really standing in our moment of our greatest victory. The darkest hour is always just before the dawn. John's commitment to his vow and to his calling and anointing allowed him no room for compromise. If we're going to have the ministry of Elijah, we must not compromise with the enemy. We must not surrender our faith and our trust in God. There are three things, and I'd like for the musician to... There are three things that characterized both Elijah and Moses. Let's look at Elijah. What three things was it that really stand out as we look at his resume, as we look upon his life? The three things that I would like for us to focus on about Elijah are his miracles, his message, and the man himself. That Moses and Elijah are without equal when we consider the awesome magnitude of the miracles which they performed. Elisha, who received the mantle of Elijah, the Bible says received a double portion of his spirit. There are seven major miracles that Elijah performed in his lifetime. Elisha, though he is not nearly as celebrated and regarded as his predecessor Elijah, actually had 13 miracles plus one more after his decease, which gave him 14. But none of the miracles of Elisha ever came anywhere close to the awesomeness and the magnitude of the miracles that God performed through Elijah. Three of the great miracles of Elijah was when he called down fire from heaven upon Mount Carmel. Again, when the officers, the soldiers came out to arrest him, that the Bible says that God allowed Elijah to call down fire from heaven. Those that were about to take him and kill him, that God caused fire to come down from heaven and consume that company of soldiers. Twice it happened. And the third time that a group of soldiers came out to arrest the prophet of God that he might be slain, he began to plead with the prophet of God to spare his life. And he did. Then Elijah prayed for rain after he had prayed for the heavens to be shut up so that it did not rain for what? 3 years. That it did not rain in Israel. And then at the prayer of Elijah, that God sent a great abundance of rain. That it was Elijah that ascended to heaven in a chariot of fire. We think of the magnitude of these miracles. There are no equals when it comes to the miracles of Moses and Elijah. John the Baptist, the Bible says, came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And yet the Bible says, but yet he did no miracles. I found that astonishing. How many miracles did John the Baptist perform? Not one single miracle. Yet Jesus said, of those that are born of all the prophets that were born of women, he said there was none greater than John the Baptist, though he performed no miracles. See, God doesn't look at greatness like men look at greatness. We look at Moses and we look at Elijah and we go, wow. Wouldn't that be something to reach down and pick up a serpent and become a rod? Or to lift up that same rod over the Red Sea and see the waters of the sea part this way and that, and a mighty wind to prepare a path through the midst of the sea where they could walk on dry land. Boy, that's powerful. Or to cause the rivers to turn to blood. To bring all manner of plagues upon the land of Egypt. That's powerful. Elijah took his mantle, and when they came to the Jordan River, Elijah just took that mantle and he smote the river and it parted so that they walked across. That's power. But the Bible says that John the Baptist did no miracles. He never called down fire from heaven. He never prayed for rain. He never ascended in a chariot of fire. Oh, but there was something that John did that he and he alone was ordained to do. And that was that he was a messenger to prepare the way for the Lord himself. I want you to know that that is the messenger, a man that prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And you and I are also in a place very much like John. In fact, the Bible says, though of those born of women, there's none greater than John. The Bible says that he that is least, oh, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Think about it, Brother Grissom. If you're a part of the kingdom of God, woo! If you're a child of God, you have something that John didn't have. You have a ministry. You have an anointing that John never knew, because you have been called to prepare the way for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to prepare a path of holiness and righteousness for the coming of a great king, that we have a larger ministry. And though he performed no miracles, he did something that the rest never were able to do. And that he simply pointed men to Jesus. And Jesus performed the miracles that John the Baptist could not do. That he simply said, behold the Lamb of God. Today we have been given an awesome opportunity to have an Elijah ministry. Amen. If we'll just point men to Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus can do miracles that are greater than those of Moses and Elijah. There's one that's greater than Moses in our midst. There's one that's greater than Elijah in our midst tonight. And His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is looking for some men tonight that will come out of the wilderness and be bold and courageous, who will be unwavering in their commitment, who will live a life of separation without compromise, without partiality, with vision and focus, who will be dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who will dare to be different. Oh God, give us an Elijah ministry. Make us as bold as a lion. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God, how did they speak it? Were they timid? Were they backward about it? Were they ashamed of the gospel? The Bible said they spoke the word of God with boldness. We need some holy boldness. We need some Elijahs that will say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Praise God, would you stand tonight? Oh, hallelujah. We need an Elijah ministry in the church today. Oh, men of valor, men that will have faith in God. Let Jesus perform the miracles. Let Jesus multiply the fishes. Let Jesus open the blinded eyes. Let Jesus unstop the deaf ears. All we have to do is point the world to Jesus. We just need to point the word of God to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We've come to praise Him. We've come to praise Him.
Hallelujah.
We've come to praise Him.
Oh, do you want a ministry of anointing? Do you want a ministry of power? Hallelujah. Do you want to have something that the world doesn't have? You've got to be willing to come out of the wilderness. You've got to be willing to separate yourself to God, to shoulder commitment, to shoulder sacrifice. Hallelujah. To trust God and believe Him. Praise the Lord tonight.
While you have
the Holy Ghost is in this place. The power of God, amen, is here to meet your needs. If you want to be free, if you want to receive the answer from the Lord, the answer is here tonight. You can receive your own personal Pentecost. You can receive healing. You can receive deliverance. Because one that's greater than Elijah is in the house tonight.
Unto the Lord, you gotta praise the Lord.
Let's come around these altars and pray. And sing. And rejoice. Pray for one another. Believe God for one another. Hallelujah. Strengthen and encourage one another. Because God is in this place. Won't you come tonight?
Well, now let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You better praise the Lord while you have a chance. We've come to pray. We've come to praise Him. We've come to praise Him.